Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. All praise is to the one to whom all dignity, honor, and glory due, the unique with perfect attributes. He begets not, nor was he begotten. He has no equal, but he is the Almighty. All affairs are managed according to his wisdom, and there is no support with him. I testify that there is nothing worthy of worship except Allah, to whom belongs all the praise, and he has power over all things. I testify that Prophet Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is his servant and messenger, who was sent as a warner and as a lamp giving the light of guidance and as a caller to Allah. May the blessings of Allah be upon him, his family, and his companions, and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day. Ameen. Today, inshallah, we will continue to learn the classes of treatment of anxiety, and inshallah, we will continue about the belief in Allah's destiny, believing that it is a very important treatment of anxiety, stress, and sadness. When we learn the rules of Allah's destiny from the Holy Quran, inshallah, this will help us, inshallah, to get rid of the feeling of anxiety and sadness. As we agreed, we shall, inshallah, learn the Quranic rules that are the practical application of the belief in Allah's decree, and also we will answer the most common questions related to our topic, the belief in Allah's destiny. And the question of today is, can we do what we want? Actually, this is a question which was sent to us, can we do what we want? And the answer is, believe in Al-Qadr, the divine will and decree is one of the pillars of faith in Islam. Because Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, when he answered Angel Jibreel about faith, he said that the belief in Islam or faith in Islam means to believe in Allah, in His angels, in His books, in His messengers, the last day, and the belief in the divine decree, both good and bad. This means that the belief in Allah's decree is one of the six aspects of the belief in Islam. And the belief in Allah's decree means that we believe that Allah has decreed all things from eternity, and Allah knows that they will happen at times that are known to Him in a specific ways, and that He has written that and willed it, and they happen according to what He has decreed. Belief in Allah's decree is based on two things. Number one, the belief in four aspects of Allah's decree, and number two, to believe in the free will, man's free will, which is the subject of Allah's will. Let us start by learning, reminding ourselves of the four aspects of the belief in Allah's decree. Number one, the knowledge. The knowledge means that Allah knows what His creation will do by virtue of His eternal knowledge. Number two, writing, that Allah has written the destiny of all creatures 50,000 years before the creation of the heavens and earth. Number three, will, that what Allah wills happen, and what He doesn't will doesn't happen. There is no movement in the heavens or in the earth, but it happens by His will. Number four, creation and formation. That is to say, Allah is the creator of all things, including the actions of His slaves. They do their actions in a real sense, and He is the creator of them and their actions. Actually, the Holy Quran affirms these things in many verses of the Quran, and we will recite now from Surah Al-An'am, Surah number 6, verse number 59. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وعنده مفاتح الغيب لا يعلمها إلا هو ويعلم ما في البر والبحر وما تسقط من ورقة إلا يعلمها ولا حبة في ظلمات الأرض ولا رطب ولا يابس إلا في كتاب مبين. And with Him are the keys of the unseen, none knows them except Him, and He knows what is on the land and in the sea, not a leaf falls but that He knows it, and no grain is there within the darkness of the earth, and no moist or dry thing but that is written in a clear record. So this verse is the proof that Allah knows everything, and Allah already wrote everything regarding the seen or the unseen. The second thing in relation to believe in Allah's decree is that we must believe that man has free will and choice, by means of which he does some things and refrains from others, and he believes or disbelieves, and he obeys or disobeys, for which he will be brought to account and rewarded or punished. Although Allah knows what he will do and what he will choose and what is his ultimate destiny will be, but Allah does not force him to do evil. Rather, he clearly show him the path, and he has sent messengers and revealed books and shown him the right way. Inshallah, today we will learn about a theory in Islam, which is the Islamic theory of man. We will learn the Islamic theory of man and its relation to the belief in Allah's destiny, because the belief in the Islamic theory of man in Islam, inshallah, will help every one of us to know his responsibility in this life, and it will help him, help every one of us to follow the right path and to choose the right path and to choose the good deeds. What is the Islamic theory of man? This is a theory which is based on the duality in the man's makeup, as it is mentioned in Surah number 38, verse number 71 and 72. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. إذ قال ربك للملائكة إني خالق بشرا من طين فإذا سويته ونفخت فيه من روحي فقعوا له ساجدين. صدق الله العظيم. So mention when your Lord said to the angels, indeed I am going to create a human being from clay, so when I have proportioned him and pressed into him my created soul, then fall down to him in prostration. What is the meaning of this verse of the Quran? The meaning is that Allah, the All-Knower, the All-Wise, created man with a duality of nature and ability. Duality means the two ingredients in man's makeup, the earth's clay and Allah's spirit. These two ingredients form within him two equal tendencies, to good and to evil, that is to say, to follow the divine guidance and to go astray. Man is just capable of recognizing the good as he is of recognizing the evil in everything. Also, he is equally capable of directing himself one way or the other. In addition to this innate ability, man is equipped with a conscious faculty which determines his line of action and is therefore responsible for his actions and decisions. So he who uses this faculty to strengthen his inclinations to what is good and purify himself and to weaken the evil drive within himself will be successful, while he who uses this faculty to suppress the good tendency in him will corrupt himself. Accordingly, there must be an element of responsibility attached to man's conscious faculty and freedom of choice, because if he is free to choose between his tendencies, so his freedom must be coupled with responsibility. But Allah, the Most Compassionate, doesn't leave man with no guidance other than his natural impulses or his conscious decision-making faculty. Instead, Allah helps man by sending messages which point out to him the signs which should help him choose the right path. And this actually is the message of the Holy Quran, which is the message of guidance sent to the humanity. This is what Allah the Almighty has willed for man, and whatever takes place within this frame is a direct fulfillment of Allah's will. From this very general outline of the Islamic concept of man, or the Islamic theory of man, emerge a number of vital and valuable facts. Number one, this Islamic concept elevates man to the high position of being responsible for his actions and allows him freedom of choice within the borders of Allah's will that granted him his freedom. Responsibility and freedom of choice therefore make man the honored creature of this world. We will recite now from Surah number 17, verse number 70. Surah number 17. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم verse number 70 بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ولقد كرمنا بني آدم وحملناهم في البر والبحر ورزقناهم من الطيبات وفضلناهم على كثير ممن خلقنا تفضيلا. And we have certainly honored the children of Adam and carried them on the land and sea and provided for them of the good things and preferred them over much of what we have created with definite preference. Actually, Allah the Almighty is clarifying that He, out of His mercy, He honored the children of Adam. And He provided for them of the good things. And actually, Allah preferred them over much of what we of what He has created. And actually, this is related to the high position of the mankind of being responsible for his the high position of man of being responsible for his action. And also, it is related to the freedom of choice which Allah gave it to the human being out of having the conscious faculty and having actually his natural impulses. The second fact related to the Islamic theory of man is that this theory puts man's fate in his own hands. According to Allah's will and makes him responsible for it. We will recite now from the verses of the Holy Quran the proof of the man's free will, which is subject to the will of Allah the Almighty. We will recite now from Surah number 90, from verse 8 to verse 10. Surah number 90. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Surah number 90. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We'll recite from verse 8 to 10. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم ألم نجعل له عينين ولسانا وشفتين وهديناه النجدين. Allah said, have we not made for him two eyes and a tongue and two lips and have shown him the two ways? Allah is actually clarifying that in these verses of the Quran, that He helped us by giving every human being two eyes, a tongue, and two lips, and also Allah had shown us the two ways. Let us know in detail the meaning of these verses of the Quran, because it is the proof of the Islamic theory of man, the proof that man has free will, and this free will is based on the fact that he has a conscious faculty, and he has natural impulses, which is helping him to choose the right way and to be responsible for his actions. Actually, in these verses of the Quran, Allah puts before man the bounties Allah has bestowed upon him, which are manifested in his makeup abilities. These are the favors bestowed on man to help him to follow the right path. His eyes, with which he recognizes the signs, the verses, the proofs, and the facts all over the universe that prove the oneness of Allah. His tongue and lips, which are his means of speech and these are the favors which the believer must use to believe and to obey Allah. Mas'ud ibn Jabir, one of the companions of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, I was with the Prophet on a journey. One day I was walking beside him when I said, Messenger of Allah, point out to me something I may do to take me to the paradise and keep me away from the hell. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, you have indeed asked about something great. Worship Allah, assigning him no partner. Offer your prayers regularly. Pay out what is due to the poor of your money. Fast in the month of Ramadan and offer Hajj. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said, shall I point out to you the gates of good? I said, yes, Messenger of Allah, please do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fasting is a safeguard and a means of protecting yourself. Charity erases your errors just as water extinguishes a burning fire, and your praying in the late hours of the night is the sign of piety. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then recited the following verse of the Quran. Surah number 39, verse number 9. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Amman huwa qanitun ana al-layli sajidan wa qaima. Yahzaru al-akhirata wa yarju rahmata rabbih. Qul hal yastawi al-lazina ya'lamuna wal-lazina la ya'lamun. Innama yatazakkaru ulul albab. Is one who is devoutly obedient during periods of the night, prostrating and standing in prayer, fearing the hereafter and hoping for the mercy of his Lord, like one who doesn't say, are those who know equal to those who don't know, only they will remember who are people of understanding. Allah the Almighty is clarifying in this verse of the Quran about the devoutly obedient servants during whom they are prostrating and standing, that is to say, praying the night prayers. Allah is clarifying that those are the ones whom they fear the hereafter and they hope for the mercy of Allah. Those are different totally from others whom they don't do the same. And Allah is sending a question with an answer. Are those who know equal to those who don't know? Of course not. They are different. And Allah is clarifying that the people of understanding are the people whom they remember their duties towards the Lord. So actually, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was mentioning about the prayer at night. He said, and your praying in the late hours of the night is the sign of piety. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam continued, then the Prophet said, shall I tell you what is the heart of the matter? The heart of the matter is Islam and submission to Allah. And the backbone of the matter is the prayer. Then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, shall I tell you what commands all this? I said, yes, Messenger of Allah, please do. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, control this. And he pointed to his tongue. I said, are we, Prophet of Allah, really accountable for what we say? Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, watch what you are saying, for what else people are dragged on their faces in the hell apart from what their tongues yield. This is the proof of the importance of being careful regarding what we are saying. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is clarifying in this hadith very important facts regarding the good deeds in our life. As he was asked by Mas'ud ibn Jabir about Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, about what can make him one of the dwellers of the paradise and what can make him away from the hell, Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned about the worshipping of Allah only with no partner. This is the most important. There is no God but Allah. And offering the prayers. Number 3, to pay the charity. Number 4, to fast the month of Ramadan and to offer Hajj. These are the 5 pillars of Islam. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam start to mention to that companion more about the ways to the paradise. And so he said to him about the night prayer and its importance as a sign of piety. And then Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he directed the attention of that Muslim and all the Muslims regarding the importance of being careful regarding what we are saying. Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam clarified that people are dragged on their faces because of what their tongues yield, because of what they are saying. So we must take care and be very careful regarding what we are saying. Most of us just like to talk. Talking and saying words, sometimes we are focusing on what we are saying, sometimes we are not just we are talking, okay, but we are not aware of this hadith of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that people are dragged on their faces in the hell because of what their tongues yield. So actually in these verses of the Holy Quran, we already learned many facts about Islam and about the good deeds and the way to the paradise. And also we learned that Allah the Almighty, out of His mercy, bid us to follow the right path by giving us 2 eyes. Through these eyes we can look around, we can recognize the signs and verses and the proofs of the unity of Allah in the universe. And also Allah gave us the tongue and the lips, which are the means of speech and expression, regarding saying the good words, regarding recitation of the Holy Quran, regarding calling people to have the good manners. This is actually the benefit of the tongue and the lips to help us to follow the right path. Insha'Allah, we will recite now from Surah number 81, verse number 27 to 29, to know more about the Islamic theory of man. In Allahur Rahman Ar-Rahim, in huwa illa dhikrun lil alameen, liman sha'a minkum an yastaqim, wa ma tasha'una illa an yasha'a Allahu رب العالمين. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. In translation, it is not except a reminder to the words for whoever wills among you to take a right course, and you don't will accept that Allah wills lords of the worlds. Allah the Almighty in verse 27 is clarifying that it is not except a reminder to the world. This is the Holy Quran. The Holy Quran is the reminder to all the mankind regarding the facts of this worldly life for those who want to follow the right path. In verse number 28, Allah is clarifying that for those whom they want to take the right course, they can actually have the Quran as a reminder and as a source of guidance to follow the right path. But then Allah the Almighty is clarifying that the right path has been indicated for everyone who wishes to be right. So anyone who follows a different path shall be responsible for his actions. And then Allah clarified that no one has a will which is independent from that of Allah. Allah grants man a free will which is subject to the will of Allah. Actually, this is the most important fact which we must learn regarding the Islamic theory of man. The fact is that Allah grants man a free will which is subject to the will of Allah the Almighty. This great responsibility stimulates man to take an attitude of caution, as well as the positive sense of the fear of Allah, as man knows the following extremely important fact, that the will of Allah is fulfilled through his own actions and decisions. Actually, this is a very important fact in Islam, which most of us are not aware of its reality. The fact is mentioned in Surah number 13, verse number 11. We must know that fact, because actually it will help every one of us to rush to follow the right path. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم إن الله لا يغير ما بقوم حتى يغيروا ما بأنفسهم وإذا أراد الله بقوم سوءا فلا مرد له وما لهم من دونه من وال. Indeed, Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. And when Allah intends for a people ill, there is no rebelling it, and there is not for them besides Him any patron. So Allah the Almighty is clarifying and saying, okay, indeed Allah will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. What is the meaning of this? The meaning of this is that it is up to you to choose your way of life. Accordingly, your life situation will be. The meaning of this verse of the Quran is that Allah does not change any hardship or trial until people change their actions, feelings, and conditions. What is the meaning of this, sister? The meaning of this, sister, is that if we are not following the right path, if I am not praying and I am not fasting, I am not obeying any of the commands of Allah, I am doing all what Allah forbids to be done, okay? So I will be always having hardships and trials. The only way to change these hardships and trials is that I must change my action and I must change my way of life so that Allah will change my situation. This means that I must review my life. I must review my actions. I must believe that this life is owned by Allah the Almighty, and He is the planner of everything, and Allah is the owner of everything. So if you want Allah to give you something, obey Him. We are living in His universe. We are living in the actually mercy of Allah the Almighty. So if we are looking for Allah to shower us with His mercy, we must be obedient servant to Allah the Almighty. But if we are not obeying His commands and we are not interested to follow His book, so why Allah would shower us with His mercy, and why Allah will give us what we are looking for, and why Allah will help us to live a good life without fear, without stress, and without sadness? In order to live a good life in this worldly life, we must have a good relation with the owner of everything, the planner of everything, the controller of everything, Allah the Almighty. So when you notice that you are living a life which is full of hardships, and you are not obeying the commands of Allah, and you are not following the right path, send a message to yourself that the only way that Allah will put an end to all these hardships and Allah will give me a good life is that I must change my attitude towards Allah. I must change my way of life. I must be in a good relation with the owner, the planner, the controller of everything, Allah the Almighty. This is the message of this verse of the Quran. This is the message actually which is clarifying the responsibility of every one of us towards yourself, towards herself. Okay? I have a responsibility towards myself. I must believe that I am the cause of the troubles which I am living in. because I have a bad relation with the owner, the planner, the controller of everything. So if I want Allah to change my my conditions, these bad conditions, if I want Allah to put an end to all these trials, I must change my attitude. I must change my way of life. I must change my actions. This is my responsibility towards myself. This is the message which Allah is sending in the Holy Quran to clarify to us our responsibility towards ourselves. And also this verse of the Quran is the proof that man has a free will. Man can do whatever he likes. It is still under the will of Allah, the Almighty, but still there is a will for every one of us. So don't blame Allah for the trials. Don't blame Allah for the hardships. Don't blame Allah that all your hopes are not a reality. Don't blame Allah that you cannot do whatever you want. Just review your relation with Allah the Almighty. Review your responsibility towards yourself. Revise the verses of the Quran which are clarifying that you, man, has a free will. According to your will, you choose your way of life. According to that way of life, if it is the right path, this means that you are in a good relation with Allah, the owner, the planner, the controller of everything. Accordingly, He will shower you with His mercy, and He will always support you. And if you are having a hardship, Allah will give you ease with every hardship. Allah will put an end for that hardship out of His mercy. Because you are following the right path and you are following the commands of your Lord. But if you choose not to follow the commands of Allah, not to live according to the rules of Allah, so you will be all the time having troubles. Because this is a rule which is mentioned in the Holy Quran. We will recite that rule now so that these facts will be clear to every one of us and will help every one of us to follow the right path and to choose the right path. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. We will recite from number 42, verse number 30 and 31. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما أصابكم من مصيبة فبما كسبت أيديكم ويعفو عن كثير. وما أنتم بمعجزين في الأرض. وما لكم من دون الله من ولي ولا نصير. And whatever strikes you of disaster, it is for what your hands have earned. But He pardons much. And you will not cause failure to Allah upon the earth. And you have not besides Allah any protector or helper. This is the verses of the Quran where Allah the Almighty is clarifying that whatever disaster, whatever trial, whatever hardship you have in your life, it is for what your hands have earned. Okay? So this means that you are responsible for whatever trials or hardships you are living in. It is what your hands have earned. What is the meaning of this in detail, sister? The meaning is that if you are living this life which is owned, controlled by Allah the Almighty, so this means that you must follow the rules of the owner, the planner, and the controller of this life. Because he is the controller, okay, of this life. For example, if you are working in a company and that company has rules and that rules were actually planned by the owner of the company, you will follow the rules of the owner of the company because he is the owner. This is also related to the worldly life and the whole life. These two lives, the hereafter and the worldly life. Allah is the creator, Allah is the owner, Allah is the planner of these two lives. So we must follow the rules of the owner, the planner, the controller, Allah the Almighty. If you follow His rules, He will shower us with His mercy, and He will give us a good life. This is the logic, normal equation. But if most of the human beings choose, and most of the Muslims, they choose not to follow the rules of Allah, not to fast, not to pray, not to have good manners at all. Okay, so what will be, what they deserve? They deserve strikes, and they deserve disasters. They deserve hardships. Why they have disasters and the hardship? This is all because of what their hands have earned. This is because of their actions. This is because of their bad values. This is because of their bad behavior. This is because they don't have good manners. Okay? So we must always believe that whatever hardships we are living in, it is because of our own actions. Okay? So if we are looking for Allah to change our situation, that is to say, to put an end for the hardships and trials, it is our responsibility. It is our responsibility to change our attitude towards Allah. It is our responsibility to follow the rules of Allah, to have the good manners, to be good people, to worship Allah by taking care of our families, by taking care of our health, by taking care of our time, by being good people, helping others to live a good life. So actually, I think it is very clear that Allah is giving to us actually the choice to choose a good life or to choose a bad life. If you want to choose a good life, you must choose the right path of Allah, the owner, the planner, the controller of everything. If you choose not to follow the right path, be sure that your life will be full of disasters and full of hardships. And don't blame Allah for these disasters and hardships. Just blame your way of life. And if you are looking for a change, that change is up to you when you change your way of life and you follow the commands of Allah. Actually, sisters, from what we learned today, the message is that we follow the right path, the path of Allah, the Almighty, so that inshallah, Allah will give us a good life where we can actually have the feeling of tranquility and mental peace. So long our classes are related to the treatment of anxiety, we must all remember the fact that Allah, the creator of the spirits, is the one to know the way for the cure and healing. Accordingly, the Most Merciful sent for us a message in the Holy Quran. The rules of the Quran is the way for the treatment and guidance for every problem we have in our life. What is the meaning of that? The meaning of that is if you want to get rid of the feelings of fear, worry, upset, confusion, misery, sadness, and depression, you must follow the right path of Allah, the Almighty. You must know that it is not Allah who is behind the disasters and the hardships in your life. Instead, it is your way of life which is the cause of these disasters and hardships. So, this is the message of this class. Try to revise again and review how you are living your life, whether you follow the rules of the Quran regarding the responsibility of yourself and your responsibility towards everyone around you, that is to say the responsibility towards your parents, your husband, your kids, the whole community, Muslims or non-Muslims, you have a responsibility towards them. You are a representative of Islam, the religion of peace and mercy. So you must be a role model of peace and mercy to yourself, and your parents and your husband, your kids, your neighbors, to the Muslims and especially to non-Muslims, so that they can believe that Islam is the religion of peace and mercy, so that they can believe that we Muslims are peaceful and we have mercy, so that inshallah Allah will shower you with your mercy so long you clarify the reality of the message of Islam to everyone. So again, you are responsible for the situation of your life. You are responsible for the disasters and the hardships you have in your life. And the way to stop all these hardships and trials and to end it is by following the right path to Allah. We pray to Allah the Almighty to guide us to follow the right path, through which we will be always showered by Allah's mercy, which is the source of tranquility, peace and happiness. And let us make the dua. الله الرحمن الرحيم اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. O Allah, our Lord, inspire us with good conduct and save us from our evil. O Allah, our Lord, cause your love to exceed all loves in us and cause your fear to be the greatest of all fears in us. O Allah, controller of the hearts, keep our heart firm in your religion and keep it contented with your worship. O Allah, our Lord, guide us with those whom you have guided. O Allah, our Lord, strengthen us with those whom you have given strength. O Allah, our Lord, take us to your care with those whom you have taken to your care. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek your forgiveness. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you for success on the day of judgment and a life of happiness. O Allah, our Lord, we seek refuge in you from a decline in your favor, from a change in your protection, from your sudden punishment and all your displeasure. Ya Allah, make the best of our deeds, our last deeds. Ya Allah, make the best of our life, our last moments. Ya Allah, make the best day of our life, the day we meet you. O Allah, our Lord, we ask your protection from the torment of the hell, from the torment of the grave, from the trials in lifetime and after this. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to make our husbands and our offspring comfort to our eyes. O Allah, our Lord, we ask you to increase your blessings and favors upon our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his family and his companions and those who follow them sincerely until the resurrection day.